Sometimes we cry out to God, and we cry out and we cry out from amidst desperate circumstances, and all we see, all we feel, is the pain that we're going through. What we forget is at the end of the day, God has a celebration, one mighty celebration planned. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thanks so much for joining me again this week on Christianity Works as we head into the final straight, the last message in this series that I've called How Long, O God, How Long? And today we're going to take a step back and look at the big picture. Look at our troubles from an eternal perspective, because the view from heaven's balcony, it's really quite different. So let's head into God's Word, and please stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, I'll be telling you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to see your situation, your circumstances, through God's eyes. It's great to be with you again this week on the program. You know, I've been so enjoying getting into God's Word through this Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. I know it's kind of a weird name, and it's easy to think, what does some stuffy old prophet have to do with my life today? But as you'll know if you've joined me over these last few weeks, Habakkuk cried out to God about the injustice that was going on amongst his people, God's people, the violence, the evil. And old Habakkuk cries out to God, why do you let this go on? And how long? How long, O God, how long? Sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it? And yet, as Habakkuk has his conversation with God, and God explains what's going on, Habakkuk gets a completely different perspective. All of a sudden, he sees what God sees, that none of this wickedness is going to go unpunished, that one day, either the wicked who are oppressing us and hurting us with all their injustices today, one day either they will turn from their wickedness and receive God's forgiveness through Jesus, or they will be judged and they will be punished. And this is the truth that changes Habakkuk's heart. This fresh new perspective completely and radically changes Habakkuk. The circumstances themselves don't change as we read this Old Testament book. What changes is Habakkuk, because he's heard God speak, and what God said makes sense. See, Habakkuk starts off his conversation with God with these words, and we've looked at them a few times now over the last few weeks. If you have a Bible, open it up at this Old Testament book, Habakkuk chapter 1. I'm reading from verses 2 to 4. O Lord, how long shall I cry out for help, and you will not listen, or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise, so the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment becomes perverted. That's how he starts off. But now look at how he finishes. We're going to go to Habakkuk chapter 3 today, the prayer of the prophet. There's something in this for all of us, for you and for me. It's written in picture language. Hebrews of old loved picture language. Listen how Habakkuk takes God's words and paints a picture with them. Have a look at the picture that he's painting. Habakkuk chapter 3, beginning at verse 2. O Lord, I have heard of your renown, and I stand in awe, O Lord, of your work. In our own time, revive it. In our own time, make it known. In wrath, may you remember mercy. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. The brightness was like the sun. Rays came forth from his hand where his power lay hidden. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed close behind. He stopped and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The eternal mountains were shattered. Along his ancient pathways, the everlasting hills sank low. I saw the tents of Cushan under affliction. The tent curtains of the land of Midian trembled. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Or your anger against the rivers? Or your rage against the sea when you drove your horses, your chariots to victory? You brandished your naked bow. You sated were the arrows at your command. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. A torrent of water swept by. The deep gave forth its voice. The sun raised high its hands. The moon stood still in its exalted place at the light of your arrows speeding by, at the gleam of your flashing spear. In fury you trod the earth. In anger you trampled the nations. You came forth to save your people, to save your anointed. You crushed the head of the wicked house, laying it bare from the foundation to the roof. You pierced with his own arrows the head of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter us, gloating as if ready to devour the poor who were hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the mighty waters. Now, how did you go seeing the picture that was being painted here? Like poetry, Habakkuk looks at the heavens and the earth and the mountains and the sky and the history of Israel, the things that have happened, the things that they see every day. And all of a sudden, he's looking at them with a fresh set of eyes. He's seeing God's hands in everything. He's looking at them afresh and going, wow, look, all along, God's been in this place and I just didn't realize it. And his spirit soars up to meet God. Let's look at just a couple of verses here. Chapter 3, verse 2. Lord, I have heard of your renown. I stand in awe, O Lord, of your work. In your own time, revive it. In your own time, make it known. In wrath, may you remember mercy. Hang on a minute, Habakkuk's saying to God. I get it now. I've heard. I remember. You're coming. A God of judgment and of mercy. Remember here, the context is that God is going to judge his whole nation, and yet Habakkuk sees God's glory and his purpose in all of that. He remembers the God of old. His glory covered the heavens. The earth was full of his praise. The brightness was like the sun. Rays came forth from his hands where his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence and plague followed behind. He stopped and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The eternal mountains were shattered along his ancient pathways. The everlasting hills sank low. The whole of creation, Habakkuk's realizing, is subject to the power of God. Everything that happens, everything that goes on. I was looking at it the wrong way, Habakkuk, saying, now I get it. Now I see it. Habakkuk gets a completely different perspective on all this rubbish that's going on in the nation of Israel. I wonder whether that isn't what God wants us to get when, like Habakkuk, we're crying, how long, O God, how long? Every day we see injustices through our own eyes, just like Habakkuk. And what we see sometimes is doom and gloom and violence and injustice, and we carry heavy burdens just like Habakkuk. But when we chat with God, he gives us a whole new perspective. All of a sudden, when we see this whole calamitous world through his eyes, his spirit opens our eyes and shines a light in our hearts. And all of a sudden, when there was misery and gloom and questioning on our lips, God replaces that by putting his praise on our lips. Our spirit soars up to meet his spirit. All of a sudden, we meet him because we realize that he is the mighty and sovereign and all-powerful, all-loving God. Can I tell you something? Something from my own bittersweet experience. The darker the night is, the brighter his light shines. But because we're human, the bigger the problems and injustices and pains of this world are, the smaller our God seems. We lose sight of God. We see things from our tiny human vantage point. And with Habakkuk, it's time to discover something. Our King reigns. This mighty God, this wonderful God, this loving God, in our darkest hour, he hasn't forsaken us. This God is still mighty, still wonderful, still loving, even in our darkest hour. He's still awesome and still powerful. And even more than that, he's right here with us. That's what the Spirit of God spoke to Habakkuk. That's what the Spirit of God is speaking right now to anyone who'll listen. And that is what puts his praise on our lips. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to encourage you and to help you live in victory on your journey with Christ. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional, a scripture verse with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's Word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free. To get instant access, stop by our mobile-friendly website, christianityworks.com. You'll see the fresh e-devotional sign-up right there toward the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the e-book, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is christianityworks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through His Word. Now, when other people around us are behaving, well, badly, it's so easy to think to ourselves, that's it, that's all there is, God doesn't seem to be in this place at all. But when we come to that stunning realization that, in fact, God is in this place, well, something amazing happens. Now, as we draw towards the end of this book of Habakkuk, what we discover is that God's saved the very best till last. Now, I'd love to tell you this was my idea, that we put it in the last program, but if I did that, I'd be lying. It's very definitely God's idea. Like a good movie or a good book, you get to the end and it all comes together and you go, wow, wow. Well, that's what today is about. It's the wow day. And if that doesn't make you stick around with me over the next 20 minutes or so, I don't know what will. Now, we've all seen it, we've all experienced it. Habakkuk's cry to God about the wickedness and the evil and the injustice going on around him. And he says, how long, O God, how long? The impact of other people's evil ways on our lives. We've all experienced injustice. Sometimes it happens on a national scale. Sometimes it happens just at a personal level. And when it does, we have that same cry that Habakkuk had toward God. How long, O Lord, how long? We want to know why and how long, but God so often has a different way. It's the way that he shared with Habakkuk when this man of God poured out the burden of his heart to God. Habakkuk cries out to God, and God answers him with a vision of the punishment that will come upon the wicked, a vision of the power of God over every wicked man and every wicked deed. Have a listen to Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 12 and 14. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by crime. For the earth will be filled with a knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And as we saw before the break, it is this vision of God's righteous judgment, God's justice, that completely changes Habakkuk's perspective. He goes from being a man who sees things from the bottom up, from a human viewpoint, to being a man who sees things from the top down, from God's viewpoint. And you know, the more we listen to God, the more we spend time understanding how God sees things, the more we allow His Word to become a part of who we are and how we think and how we behave, the more we experience the thing that Habakkuk received from God. It's the thing we discover in the last few verses of the end of this short book, Habakkuk. It's what comes after finally, Habakkuk gets it. He sees the glory and the power of God. He praises God from the midst of the injustice and the violence, and then the impact, then the thing that happened deep within him. Have a listen with me, because this is the thing that God wants you and me to get today. He wants us to experience this. Begins in Habakkuk chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. Habakkuk writes, I hear and I tremble within. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones and my steps tremble beneath me. I wait quietly for the day of calamity to come upon the people who attack us. Though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and makes me to tread upon the heights. This is such a beautiful picture of a man who discovered the peace and the joy and the power of God in the midst of the violence and wickedness and injustice. A man who was such a blessing to me in my early Christian walk was a quiet man called Steve. Now, Steve was no great preacher, but he had such a wonderful heart for God, and he lived that out as a chaplain amongst the elderly. And I tell you, he was just the right man for that job. But I remember him preaching once at our little church all those years ago, and he said something that stuck with me ever since. He said this. He said, peace is trusting in the sovereignty of God. Let me say that again. Peace is trusting in the sovereignty of God. And that's exactly what's happened here for Habakkuk. Have another listen. I hear and I tremble within. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones and my steps tremble beneath me. I will wait quietly for the day of calamity to come on the people who attack us. This man has the fear of God in him. He trembles, his lips quiver. He knows the decay, the rottenness in his own bones. His steps tremble. This is the fear of the Lord. But look at the impact of that right fear. I will wait quietly for the day of calamity to come upon the people who attack us. I'll wait quietly. Because what I know is that God's going to act. He's going to judge those who are doing evil. He's going to judge his people Israel, and it will be a day of calamity. And can I tell you, that day came just a few years later. God's people turned against him. God used the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. He had Jerusalem destroyed, the temple destroyed, and God's own people were led into captivity for 70 years in Babylon. What a terrible cycle of events. What a calamity that this mighty God was about to bring on his people. But the only men who saw it coming were a handful of God's prophets. Habakkuk was one of them. And he was able to wait quietly for this day of calamity. Habakkuk had peace. Even though the fig tree doesn't blossom, there's no fruit on the vines. The produce of the olive tree fails. There's no food in the fields. The flock's cut off from the fold. There's no herd in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. I read something that someone else wrote about this book, Habakkuk, which kind of sums it all up in a nutshell. Have a listen. The underlying theme of this book, Habakkuk, can be summarized as follows. A mature faith trusts humbly but persistently in God's design for establishing righteousness on the earth. And you know something? That's the power of the change that Habakkuk experienced when he spoke with God and heard the word of God amidst the calamity. He humbly accepted God's way. He trusted in the sovereign will of God, and there in that place of humility, he found peace and he found joy. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Habakkuk 3:18. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he makes me tread upon the heights. Even though everything else around him was failing, the Spirit of God enabled this man to trust God, to rejoice in God, to rise up. God became his strength. God gave him the feet like the deer. God made him to tread upon the heights. And that, my friend, that is what God would have for you and me amidst all the calamities that life hurls at us as we receive his word. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. I just want to take a moment during this short break to share something truly important with you. In those dark times, in those difficult times, in those times when God seems to have left you to fend for yourself, he is, in point of fact, doing a mighty work in your life. And it's in those times that it's so important to see what's going on through his eyes. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet called When Will God Finally Show Up? It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to encourage you through those difficult times. In fact, each chapter contains a series of life application questions to help you think through and apply God's Word right into the realities of your life. To request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com, and you'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that booklet will be on its way to you before you know it. It's really that easy. But this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available, so don't miss out. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Now, as we come to the end of this series, How Long, O God, How Long? Perhaps you've heard everything that we've read and said from God's Word, and in theory at least, it all makes sense. But getting the theory is a far cry from receiving the truth deep into your heart. So as we head into the home straight in this journey with Habakkuk, this four-week series that I've called How Long, O Lord, How Long? Has it been a blessing to you? Well, it has for me. Probably one of the things that you don't think about is that I get to spend a whole bunch of time in God's Word preparing these programs. And that's an awesome thing because It's God's word that changes us. It's like food. We wouldn't think of going day after day after day without food unless we absolutely had to, unless we had no choice in the matter. And yet so often, people who believe in Jesus go day after day after day after day without feasting on the bread of life, the word of God, Jesus himself. And they wonder why they feel empty inside. They wonder why they feel weak and helpless. Because that's what happens when you go without food, physical food or spiritual food. And what God's been doing in me as I've spent time poring over this very short book of Habakkuk, just a few pages, is making me strong. He's been feeding me with his word and making his perspective, his heavenly view, my perspective, my view. That's what it's all about, seeing things through the eyes of the one who sees everything. I want to finish off this series with a word for those who are still sitting there thinking to themselves, well, I've heard everything this guy has said. I've heard everything that he's read from the Bible, from God's word. I've heard it all, but deep down in my heart, I'm still wondering, how long, oh God, how long? That question can be a persistent, nagging thing that seems not to want to go away because there's some injustice or some hurt or some violence or some trial that seems to go on and on and on and on. And for some reason, God just doesn't do anything about it. And so I just feel to speak one more thing into that place, if that's where you happen to be right now. It comes from Peter the Apostle. It was written centuries after Habakkuk. Jesus has been, died, risen again, and ascended into heaven. And Peter is writing to the persecuted church in the first century AD. Man, were they being persecuted. They were going through stuff like being tarred and feathered and set alight and tortured because of their faith. How must those people have been wondering, how long, oh God, how long? This is what I love about God's word, the Bible. It's written for real people in real situations, going through real stuff. Here it is, the letter from Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 6, says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert like a roaring lion. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in the world are all undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. Humble yourselves under the mighty, mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time." In what time? In your time? In my time? No, no. In his time. In due time. That's why you and I can cast all our anxiety on him, because he cares for us. Because he will restore, support, strengthen, and establish us. And yes, the enemy, the devil, is waiting, is prowling like a roaring lion, waiting to devour someone, waiting for someone to lose heart, waiting for someone to give up. But resist him. Just hang in there with Jesus. Don't give up. You and I, we aren't the only ones that are suffering here. Lots of people are suffering. But after you've suffered for a little while, writes Peter in chapter 5, verse 10, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. Don't you love that? After we've suffered for a little while, this amazing God of all grace who has this eternal plan that he's called us to. And listen to how Peter emphasizes this. This is God who has called us to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore and support and strengthen and establish. Come on, is that good news or what? God himself will restore and support and strengthen and establish us. And today, this very moment, he's doing just that. His eternal plan is rolling on. And you and I, we can rest in his sovereign grace, just like Habakkuk. And when we do that, when we open our heart to his word, which is so powerful, so mighty, so eternal, that it will stand forever, when we open our hearts to his word, his spirit will bring healing to our hearts. His spirit will bring joy and peace to our hearts. His spirit will put his praises on our lips. His spirit will enable us to say what Habakkuk said. Even though the fig tree doesn't blossom and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he makes me tread upon the heights. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that's pretty much all we have time for today. But before I go, there's something very important that I need to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus and live in the victory that he purchased for you on that cross. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant, life-changing Bible teaching available at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you draw ever closer to God. So dive into the Media Lounge to watch our weekly Christianity Works TV broadcast or the daily fresh devotional video. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can filter the content to lay hold of just the teaching that you need for what you're going through today. Remember, everything on the site is free, including that booklet I mentioned earlier, When Will God Finally Show Up? And of course, the fresh devotional. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life to bring you his joy, his peace, and his power. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again same time next week with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.